This week's Parsha is Parsha's Toldos, and we'll pick up our shir today in chapter 27, in the story of Yaakov's getting the blessing from Yitzchak. The story starts that Yitzchak became old and his eyes became dim from seeing. He calls his son Esav and tells him that I want to give you a blessing before I die. Please go hunt to me like, and bring me in order for me to bless you before I die. Rivka heard what Yitzchak told Esav, and Rivka quickly calls Yaakov and tells Yaakov that I heard your father saying that he's going to give Esav a blessing before he dies. And Rivka tells Yaakov, please listen to me and go to the flock and get me two young goats, and I will make for your father, and then you should go impersonate Esav in order for you to get the blessing. Rashi asks, does Yitzchak need to eat two goats? Rashi answers that this was Pesach, and one goat was for the Korban Pesach, and the other one was to make delicacies, which means it was for the Korban Chagiga to supplement the food. Yaakov Avinu says to his mother that how can I go in person at Esav? We know that Esav is hairy and I am smooth-skinned. Pasuk number 12 says, Ulai yemusheni avi, maybe my father will touch me, v'yisi be'enav kemesateya, and I will be like a mocker in his eye, meaning that he will see that I am the wrong person, that I try to impersonate Esav, and then my father is going to get mad, v'veisi olai klala, and you'll bring on me a curse, v'loi bracha, and not a blessing, meaning he tells his mother that this idea that you have, that I impersonate Esav, may backfire, and instead of a blessing, I may get a curse. Rivka answers him on Pasuk number 13, Vatoimeloi imoi, his mother tells him, Olai klilas chobni, on me is going to be your curse. Meaning, according to the Evan Ezra, he explains that she told him, don't be afraid that Yitzchak is going to curse you, and if he's going to curse you, the curse should be on me, and not on you. The Sephora says that we see that Shlomo HaMelech did also the same way, that Shlomo HaMelech accepted on himself the curses that Yoav was supposed to get. Meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis 48b, brings that right before the death of David HaMelech tells Shlomo HaMelech that he should remember Yoav ben Tziruya, his general, and make sure that he pays for what he did to the two people, Avner ben Ner and Amasha ben Yeser, that Yoav tricked them and killed them. And because they were enemies of David HaMelech, everybody thought that David HaMelech is the one that ordered them to be killed. Therefore, David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech that he shouldn't forget them, that Yoav killed them. But it's important to know that right after Yoav killed Avner, David HaMelech was upset, and David HaMelech cursed Yoav, as is written in Shmuel 2, chapter 3, verse 29, that he said, Alikoras mi beis Yoav, they should not cease from the house of Yoav, Zav, somebody who has the disease of Zav, Umetzoira, somebody who has a leprosy, Umachzik bafelech, somebody who walks on a stick, Benafal becherev, and somebody who will die by the sword, Vechasar lechem, and somebody who doesn't have bread. Meaning, the David HaMelech cursed the offsprings of Yoav. Right after the death of David HaMelech, Yoav realized that Shlomo HaMelech is going to do what David HaMelech told him. Therefore, Yoav ran into the Beis HaMikdash, and he held on to the corners of the Mizbeach. Shlomo HaMelech tells Bnoyahu ben Yoyada to go and kill him. Yoav has some words with Bnoyahu ben Yoyada, and then on Malachim 1, chapter 2, verse 31, there it says, Vayashav b'noyahu l'melech davar l'emor, that b'noyahu came back to the king saying, Koi diber Yoav, so did Yoav say, v'koi anani, and so he answered me. From the fact that it's written, so he said, and so he answered me, basically the Gemara learns that Yoav argues a point that has two statements, meaning that Yoav argued to Shlomo HaMelech that you cannot give me two punishments. Meaning, your father he punished me for the crime of killing Avner, that he cursed me. Now, if you are going to punish me for the same crime by killing me, then you should accept upon yourself the curse that your father gave to me. If you leave me with the curse, then you won't be cursed. But if you insist on killing me, then the curse that your father gave on me should come on you. Shlomo HaMelech there says that Bnei Yahu should kill him, and Bnei Yahu killed him. And the Gemara says that in truth, the curse that David HaMelech gave to Yoav happened to the offsprings of Shlomo HaMelech. Because the Gemara says that that's written that should always be Azav happened to Rechavam, the Rechavam became Azav. Metzoyra, a leper, happened from Uzziyahu. Machzik Befelech, somebody who walks with a cane, with a stick, happened with Asa. That's written there when he became old. Cholo Araglov, he became sick on his feet. That means he needed help from a cane to walk. And Noifel Becherev, somebody who dies by the sword, happened from Yeshayahu. Because there the Gemara says that when Paroi came to fight, they killed Yeshayahu. They made his whole body as a sieve, meaning that they died by the sword. And somebody who didn't have food happened by King Yechoniah right before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, where he was imprisoned and he didn't have what to eat. But nonetheless, we see from here that when somebody gets a curse, that curse could be transferred to somebody else. The Sforan says that this is what Rivka was saying to Yaakov, that if you get the curse, don't worry, the curse will be transferred to me. And the Ebenezer continues and says that this is the way of women. And Mefarshim write down that not necessarily this is the way of women. The Yoel or explains that this is the way of mothers, that they take upon themselves the curses that are for the children. In order to protect their children, the mothers accept the curses upon themselves. The Dazakim Baal Toisos interprets it differently and interprets that Rivka told Yaakov that you don't have to worry that Yitzchak is going to curse you. Yitzchak is not going to curse you. Yitzchak is going to curse me. Because this is the way when a child does something bad that we curse the mother that created the child. Therefore, Rivka was telling Yaakov that you don't have to worry about being cursed by Yitzchak. The curse is going to come on me. We have a problem though, if that's the interpretation, how can Yaakov Avinu accept that his mother should be cursed instead of him? Meaning, Yaakov Avinu is required to keep the mitzvah of Kibud Em. Then how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu would accept that the mother should be cursed instead of him? Or according to the first interpretation of the Ebenezer and Sforna, that the mother should take over the curse that will go on him. How can he accept that? Therefore, we could answer different ways. One answer is the second answer of the Evan Ezra, where the Evan Ezra says that Rivka was saying that if you get the curse, then Olai killas chobni. I will make sure that I will remove that curse. That Rivka says that in case Yitzchak will curse you, I have the power to remove that curse. As somebody would say, that don't worry about the curse, I will take care of that curse. The Rashbam answers that Rivka Imenu was telling Yaakov that you don't have to worry about being cursed because I know prophetically that there won't be any curses. Because since I was given prophetically by Shem ben Noach in the beginning of the Parsha, in chapter 25, verse number 23, that there it says, Verav Yavoy Tzoyr, that the oldest will serve the youngest, meaning that Esav is going to serve Yaakov, then prophetically I know that you are going to get this blessing, then you don't have to worry about the curse. We have a problem with this interpretation of the Rashbam, because according to this interpretation of the Rashbam, the words do not make sense. Meaning, normally we know that the Rashbam is Pshutoy Shel Mikra. He interprets the regular, plain interpretation. But here, according to the Rashbam, it means to say that there won't be any curse whatsoever. Then why is she saying, Olai on me, Kililas Chobni, is going to be your curse? If there won't be any curse, she should have said that there won't be any curse because I know what is the meaning that Olai kilos chobni, that I will take care of your curse, or on me is your curse. According to the Rashbam, there won't be any curse whatsoever. Sefer Panini Mishulchan Agra from the Vilna Gaon explains that the meaning of the pasuk is completely different. Meaning, we interpret that she said, Olai kilos chobni, that on me should be your curse. But according to the Vilna Gaon, what she was telling Yaakov is that you don't have to worry about being cursed by Yitzchak. I know by prophecy that your curses are going to be what comprises the word Olai. Meaning, Olai is a word that has three letters, Ayin, Lamed, and Yud, and each of these letters are the initials of the problems that Yaakov is going to have. The Ayin is going to be Esav, that Esav is going to try to kill him. The Lamed is going to be Lavan, that Lavan is going to chase after him and also try to kill him, as we read in the Gada. And the Yud is for Yosef, meaning that Yosef is going to be your problems. But Yitzchak is not going to be your problem. So therefore, according to this interpretation, Rivka was telling Yaakov Avinu exactly what the Rashbam says, meaning that you don't have to worry about being cursed by Yitzchak. I see prophetically that Olai kililas chabri, your curses are going to be what comprises the word Olai, Ayin, Lamed, Yud. And the Vilna Gaon continues and says that what's written in Parshas Mikheis, chapter 42, verse number 36, where the brothers meet Yosef and Yosef takes Shimon captive until they bring down Binyamin, and Yaakov Avinu refuses to send Binyamin, there Yaakov Avinu says, Oisi shikaltem, me you have bereaved, meaning Yosef inenu, Yosef is not here, v'Shimon inenu, and Shimon is not here, v'ez Binyamin tikachu, and you are going to take Binyamin, Olai oyu chulono, upon me, O has fallen. So the Vilna Gaon says that Yaakov Avinu was saying that Olai, I already had on me what my mother said, the letters Olai, meaning what happened to Esav, what happened to Lavan, what happened to Yosef is already on me. Therefore, I can't give you Binyamin because I already fulfilled all my problems. Then why do you want to take Binyamin? We'll try to give a different explanation of why Yaakov accepted what Rivka said, that the curse should be on her. But first, let's continue with the Parsha. The Parsha says that Yaakov did as his mother said, and the mother made delicacies as the father liked. Then on Pasuk number 15, it's written, Vatikach Rivka Esbigda Esav Bno HaGadol. Rivka took the clothes of Esav, her oldest son. Achamudois, the simple interpretation is the clean ones, but Rashi brings interpretation, Shechomad Oisoi, Minimrit, that they are the coveted clothing that he coveted from Nimrod. According to the Medrash Rabba, this is the clothing that Adam HaRishon got after he sinned, where it's written in Bereshis chapter 3, verse number 21, where it says, Vayas Hashem Elokim le'Adam u'le'ishtoi, Hashem made for Adam and his wife Chava, kosnois oir, clothing of skin, v'albishem, and he dressed them. According to the Medrash, these clothing were brought by Chum in the Teva, and then Nimrod took this clothing, and Nimrod, by wearing this clothing, caused that all the animals would bow down to him. Therefore, it's written regarding Nimrod in Bereshit chapter 10, verse number 9, Hu oyo gibor tzayid lifnei Hashem, that he was a great hunter in front of Hashem, because since the animals came to him, it was very easy for Nimrod to hunt them. According to the Midrash, Esav coveted this clothing, and Esav killed Nimrod and took this clothing. Therefore, regarding Esav, it's also written the same thing in the Parsha, that in the beginning of the Parsha it's written in chapter 25, verse number 27, Vayi Esav ish yodea tzayit, that Esav is a person who knows how to hunt, likes to hunt, because it was easy for him since the animals came to him. He was considered a great hunter. We'll soon analyze more this idea of these are the clothing of Adam HaRishon, Achamudois, that are coveted. But before that, we are going to ask the question of the Seroir HaMoir, The Torah Moir asks a question regarding this pasuk. The pasuk says that Rivka took the clothing of Esav, her oldest son, the coveted ones, which was with her in the house, and she dressed Yaakov, her youngest son. The Torah Moir asks, why does the Torah need to tell me this idea again? That Esav is the oldest son and Yaakov is the youngest son. We clearly know from the whole parasha this idea that Esav is older than Yaakov. Therefore, the Torah Moir says that the meaning here of the word Hagadol and Katoin doesn't mean older and younger, it means bigger and smaller, meaning that Esav was much larger than Yaakov. Esav was broader and taller than Yaakov, and yet when Yaakov put Esav's clothing, the clothing fit him perfectly and exactly. In the same way that it happened to David HaMelech when David HaMelech wore Shaul's clothing. Meaning that on Shmuel Aleph chapter 17, verse number 38, when David is going to fight Goliath, it's written there, Va'ilba Shaul es David Madov, that Shaul dressed on David his own battle garments, Venosan Koivan Echoshes Aroisho, and put a copper helmet on him, Va'yalbash Oiso Shirion, and put the armor. Va'ikra Rabba, Parsha 26, Simon 10, writes down that even though in regards to Shlomo Melech it's written that he's head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the camp, as it's written in Shmuel Aleph chapter 10 verse 23, nonetheless, when David HaMelech put the armor, even though he was a young kid, that armor miraculously fit him exactly. Therefore, Shaul HaMelech realized that David is destined to the throne, and therefore Shaul HaMelech became jealous on David HaMelech. And the Torah Moir says that this is what the Torah is telling us, that even though Esav was Beno Hagadol, was the tallest and wider than Yaakov, nonetheless, that clothing fits exactly Yaakov Beno Hakotan, her smaller son. Sefer Shemer Roish asks a question, according to the interpretation that we just mentioned, that this clothing is called a Hamudois, the coveted ones, because he coveted them from Nimrod. Why does the Torah use the language a Hamudois, the coveted ones? The Torah could have just written down Hagazulois, the clothing that were stolen, or Hanatulois that were taken. What is the message that the Torah is giving us by making sure that we know that this clothing were coveted by Esav? What's the difference if they were coveted or he just stole them? By the Torah using the language of Hemda, of coveting, the Torah wants to give me a specific message. What is the message that the Torah is giving me by using the language coveted? Furthermore, Mefarshim ask, why in fact did Esav take this clothing to go hunt? As we mentioned, these were the clothing of Nimrod, that whenever an animal saw this clothing, it came down and bowed to the person. Then since Esav was told by his father to go hunt and get him food, why didn't Esav take this clothing to make it easier for him to go hunt? Mefarshim answer, that since the Medrash writes down that Esav excelled in Kibbut Avaim, the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Samachay, Simon Tes Zion, 65:16, says, Omer Rab Shimon Gamliel says, Kol Yom Ha'Yisim Meshamesh Ezaba, all my days I serve my father, Velo Yishimashti Oysoi Echad Mimeya Sheshimesh Esav Ezaviv, and I didn't serve him 100 that Esav served his father. And he gives an example. Ani b'shu shayisi meshamesh ezabe. When I used to serve my father, shayisi meshamesh evigdim lechlochim. I used to serve him with dirty clothes. V'shah shayisi yoytzla derech. But when I went out on the road, shayisi yoytze b'vgadim nekiim. I used to go out with clean clothing. Aval Esav, but Esav the opposite. V'shah shay meshamesh ezaviv. When he was serving his father, only used to serve him with kingly clothing. Omar used to say, it's not proper for me to serve my father only with kingly clothing. So we see from this Medrash how much Esav excelled in Kibbut Av, in honoring his father. And therefore, Esav thought that since his father told him to go hunt, he did not want to lose the mitzvah and have a shortcut of the animals coming to him and make it easy for him to hunt. He wanted to fulfill this mitzvah completely and he wanted to go to hunt. Furthermore, There is a very interesting Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer asks that after Esav finds out that Yaakov is the one that brought the food to his father and he's the one who cheated him, on verse number 36, Vayomer, he says, Achi Korashmo Yaakov, is that the reason why his name is Yaakov, Vayakovenu Zepamayim, and he already outwitted me 2 times? As Bechoirosi Lokach, he took away my right of firstborn, Vehine Ato Lokach Birchosi, and now he took my blessing, Vayomer, and then he said, didn't you reserve for me a blessing? The Chasam Sofer is bothered by 2 questions. One question is that Esav is not a stupid man. Why does Esav tell Yitzchak that Yaakov outwitted him 2 times? Esav should have just told Yitzchak that Yaakov outwitted him, that he took the blessing. Why does Esav tell Yitzchak that Yaakov outwitted him, that he took away the right of firstborn? That doesn't work on Esav's favor. Then why would Esav do that? And the second question the Chasam Sofer asks is, once Esav admits that Yaakov outwitted him, and Yaakov took away the right of the firstborn, and took away the blessings, why does he ask Yitzchak, didn't you leave me a blessing? Clearly, if he is not the firstborn, then he doesn't deserve the blessing. Why would he expect a blessing? Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that since we know that before the Torah was given, the service was done by the Bechor, by the firstborn, that means that anybody but the firstborn who brings the offering becomes invalid. And since we mentioned that this offering that Yitzchak asked Esav and Yaakov did was a Korban Pesach, a Pesach offering, that means the Pesach offering could only be done by a firstborn. The Chasam Sofer says that here he teaches you how great the Kibbutz Av is for Esav. Meaning, Esav respected his father so much that even though Esav is arguing for the firstborn for 48 years, meaning he sold the right of being firstborn at the death of Avram, which was when he was at the age of 15, and now Rashi brings down in the end of the parsha, Yaakov and Esav are 63 years old. That means that for 48 years he argued against Yaakov that he believed the sale is null and void and he should be the firstborn. Esav argued that he should be the firstborn, but now that he finds out that Yitzchak already ate this Pesach offering, then Esav is willing to give up his claim in order for Yitzchak not to have eaten offerings that were done improperly. Meaning that now that Yitzchak already ate the offering of Yaakov, which was a Korban Pesach, if Esav continues with his claim that the sale was not done properly and he's the firstborn, that means that Yitzchak ate Kadoshim Pesach offerings that were done improperly. Therefore, Esav is willing to give up his claim in order not to cause Yitzchak to have eaten improper holy foods. And this is what Esav is now claiming, that Yaakov, by feeding you Korban Pesach, by that he outwitted me 2 times, because he knows that now I'll have to admit to him being the firstborn, because otherwise Yitzchak, his father, would have eaten improper food. And because of that, he was able to get the bracha, the blessing. Therefore, since I'm only admitting because of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, Esav thought that his father should give him a blessing for what he did. Since the only reason he admitted is because of Kibbutz Av, of honoring his father, therefore, Esav thought proper that his father should give him at least a blessing for what he did. He gave up his claim for the firstborn and gave up the blessing. At least give him a blessing for that. And therefore he complains, didn't you leave me a blessing? Meaning, look what I sacrificed in order for you, my father Yitzchak, not to have eaten improper foods, that I give up the firstborn. I admit that he outwitted me, and I admit that he took my blessing, but at least give me a blessing for all this. So we see how perfectly and exemplary Esav performed the mitzvah of kibud av, honoring his father. According to this, we have to ask now a very strong question. The Gemara in Soita Daf Chof Alef Amud Alef 21a says that mitzvah be'idna d'asik ba, a mitzvah while you are performing that mitzvah, magna, it protects you, umatzla, and saves you. Meaning that while you are making the mitzvah, no evil could happen to you. As it's written in Keheles, chapter 8, verse number 5, v'shoimer mitzvah lo yeda davara, a person who's keeping a mitzvah should not know a bad thing, evil things. And it's also written in Pesachim, Daf Ches Amud Beis 8b, that shlucha mitzvah eino nizoikim, loy ba lichasam v'loy b'chazarasam, that a messenger that is performing a mitzvah, he does not get harmed, neither by going, meaning when he's going to perform the mitzvah, nor when he's coming back from performing the mitzvah. Meaning, Hashem protects you while you are going to perform the mitzvah and while you're coming back. Meaning, not only while you are making the mitzvah, your preparations for the mitzvah and your coming back from the mitzvah is also protected. Then, Sefer Shemei Roish asks a question, how is it possible that this mitzvah of Kibud Av, of Esav, did not protect him that he should get the blessing? How is it possible that Yaakov was able to get the blessing and not Esav? Theoretically, if Esav is performing the mitzvah and is sacrificing so much for the mitzvah, then he should be protected. Why is it that he was not protected by this mitzvah? Sefer Shemen Roish answers this question based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, chapter 4, verse number 5. There the verse says, Shnei shodayich kishnei aforim, your two breasts are like two fawns, Toi meitzeviya, the twin fawns, Haroim bashoshanim, who graze among the roses. Rashi there explains that this is referring to the two luchos, the two tablets that we receive at Sinai, which are twins in size, meaning each tablet is the same size as the other tablet, and each of the tablets has five commandments, which the five commandments on these tablets are equivalent or are connected to the five commandments in the other tablets. Meaning that in one tablet we have the commandment first to five, and in the second tablet we have the commandments 6 to 10. And they are lined up next to each other, where the first commandment is equivalent to the sixth commandment, the second commandment is equivalent to the seventh commandment, the third to the eighth, the fourth to the ninth, and the fifth to the tenth. And Rashi proceeds to explain how they are connected. He explains that Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, is connected to do not murder, because every time you murder somebody, you reduce the image of Hashem, since man was created in Hashem's image. Therefore, you reduce the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that I'm Hashem your God. The second commandment, that you should not have other gods, is connected to do not commit immorality, because anybody who strays after idolatry will likely eventually stray after another woman. The third commandment, do not take Hashem's name in vain, is equivalent to do not steal, because if somebody steals, he'll eventually transgress the third commandment of not taking Hashem's name in vain, because he may be called to swear that he didn't steal, and he will swear falsely, therefore he transgressed the third commandment. The fourth commandment of remember the Shabbos is equivalent, do not bear false witness, because anybody who transgresses Shabbos is bearing false witness, because he's testifying that Hashem is not the creator of the world. Since us keeping Shabbos gives testimony that Hashem is the creator of the world, if you do not keep Shabbos, then you are testifying falsely that Hashem is not the creator of the world. Therefore, they are connected. And finally, he says that the fifth commandment of Kabet es avicha v'simecha, honor your father and mother, is opposite, do not covet, because somebody who covets regrets his father and eventually will not honor his father, because he wants to honor only somebody who has money or somebody who has possessions. Therefore, they are connected. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, In order for you to be able to keep the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, of honoring your father and mother perfectly, has to be in a way that you do not transgress the Ten Commandment, do not covet, because they are connected. The Torah connects them in a way that you cannot do one unless you fulfill the other. They are totally connected one to the other. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, that this was Rivka's intention. Rivka knew that Esav excelled in the mitzvah of kibud av, and Rivka was afraid that this mitzvah will come and protect Esav, that Yaakov shouldn't be able to get the blessing. Therefore, Rivka devised a plan that she is going to put on Yaakov the clothing of Esav, hachamudois, the coveted one, because Rivka wanted that in heaven they will see the clothes of Yaakov, and they'll realize that the mitzvah of Esav is not as perfect as it seems. Because since Esav transgresses the 10th commandment, do not covet, and that 10th commandment is connected to the kibud av v'em, to the 5th commandment, which is honor your father and mother, therefore Rivka understood that if he brings up the idea that Esav covets, then Esav won't be able to get the credit of doing the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, of honoring his father and mother. Therefore, Rivka specifically put on Yaakov the coveted clothing of Esav, and therefore specifically it's written, Achamudo is the one that coveted, in order to bring up the point that Esav transgresses the 10th commandment of do not covet, and therefore he cannot get full credit for kabet es avicha v'simecha, honor your father and mother, since both commandments are connected, as Rashi explains. Sefer Shemeroish is going to bring soon a different answer of why that mitzvah of kibud av, of honoring your father, did not protect Esav. But before that, he asks a question which is the exact opposite question. Meaning, he asks, since we just mentioned that the mitzvah is supposed to protect you, then why was Yaakov Avinu afraid, maybe my father will touch me and I will be like a mocker and he'll bring a curse and not a blessing? How is it possible that a curse should come on Yaakov when Yaakov is performing the mitzvah of kibud aim, of honoring his mother? His mother is the one who told him to go inside and get the blessing. Then clearly, if we believe that the mitzvah protects you and no harm could come to you, then how is it possible that Yaakov was afraid that he's going to get a curse and not a blessing? Since you'd be doing it for the mitzvah of kibud em, of honoring his mother. Therefore, Sefer Shemeroish answers, based on the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes, Amud Beis 39b. There the Gemara says that there are two mitzvahs in the Torah that the Torah tells you, Lemani Tavloch, that it should be good to you, Varach Toyomim, and you should have a long life. And these mitzvahs are Shiluach HaKein, by sending away the mother bird, meaning when you see a mother hovering over the eggs and you want to take the eggs, then the Torah tells you that you're supposed to send away the mother bird and then take her the eggs. And if you do this mitzvah, the Torah promises you, Lemani Tavloch Varach Tayomim, that you should be good to you and you'll have a long life. And the second mitzvah is Kibud Av Vaem, that if you honor your father and mother, the reward for the mitzvah is also to be good to you and have a long life. Rabbi Yaakov in the Gemara says that this reward is not referring to be good to you in this world and have a long life in this world. It means to the world to come. And he explains that what happens if a father tells a son, go up into a tower and bring me some chicks. And the son goes up into the tower and he sees a mother bird and sends away the mother bird and then takes the chicks. And on the way down, he falls and dies. Where is the reward that the Torah promises you? Where is the good life and where is the long life of this person? Therefore, Rabbi Yaakov says that this is not referring to this world, it's referring to the world to come, that he's going to have a good life in the world to come and a long life in the world to come. The Gemara asks a question, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe if you do this mitzvah, you'll never fall down and die on the way back. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yaakov actually saw a story where a father told his son to go up a tower to bring him some chicks, and then the son sent away the mother bird, and the way down he fell down. The Gemara asks a question, maybe he was thinking about making a sin in the way down. The Gemara says that that when you have evil thoughts, Hashem does not count it for an action. Meaning, just the fact that you are thinking on doing something bad, Hashem doesn't consider it as you would have done it already. Therefore, you are not punished for it. The Gemara asks a question. Maybe this person was thinking about idolatry. Meaning, true, normally when you think about doing something bad, then Hashem does not count as a sin, and you still have the protection of the mitzvah. But maybe this person was thinking about idolatry, and idolatry is one of the sins that Hashem punishes just by thought. And the Gemara brings a proof to prove it, that just by thinking of it, Hashem punishes. And the Gemara concedes that it's possible that this person was thinking about idolatry, and therefore he was not protected, and therefore he died. So we see from this Gemara that even though a person is doing the mitzvah of Kibbut Av V'Em and Shiluach HaKein, both mitzvahs together, but if he's thinking about idolatry, then no matter how exemplary he makes those mitzvahs, he will still not be protected by the mitzvahs. Because since he's thinking about idolatry, that itself invalidates all the mitzvahs that he's doing. According to this, says Sefer Shemeroish, now we don't have a question anymore why Esav was not protected by the mitzvah of Kibbut Av, because since Esav was an idolater and probably he was thinking about it all the time, therefore there was no protection for him when he's doing the mitzvah of Kibbut Av. Ah, yes, a question. How about Yaakov? Why was Yaakov afraid that he is going to be cursed by his father? Why didn't he think that the mitzvah of Kibbut Av will protect him? Sefer Shemeroish answers, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Beis Omed Aleph, where the Gemara there says, V'omar Rabbeloza says, Kol ha-machlif bediburoi, anybody who disguises his speech, Ki'ilu oivet avodah zarah, it's considered as if would have worshipped idols, because it's written here regarding Yaakov, Boisi be'enov kemesateya, I will be like a deceiver. Exiv osam, it's written there in Yirmiyahu chapter 10, verse number 15. Hevel heima, that idolatries are vanity. Maase tatuim, work of deception. So we see that the word metateya is connected to the word tatuim. Therefore the Gemara says that anybody who disguises his speech is considered as he did idolatry. And if disguising your speech is considered idolatry, if you are thinking of disguising your speech, then you are having a hirur avodah zarah. You are thinking on something that's tantamount of idolatry. And as we mentioned previously, when you have hirur avodah zarah, when you think of idolatry, then the mitzvah of Kibbut Av does not protect you and you are still harmed. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu said that maybe my father will touch me, and then if he'll touch me, I will think of disguising my speech, and then since it's tantamount of doing adultery, then the merit of the mitzvah of Kibbut Em, of respecting my mother because I'm doing what my mother wants, will not protect me, and then I'll be cursed and not blessed. On that, Rivka answered, Olai kililas chobni, that you don't have to worry about you really wanting to disguise your voice, because I know that you are Yaakov and we have Titan Emes Yaakov. Yaakov is truth. I know you won't disguise your voice. I know that you aren't even going to think about it, and therefore, Olai, on the merit that you are doing Kibbut Em, Kilas Chabni, you don't have to worry about the curse, my son. Meaning, she was telling him that I know that you are not going to disguise your voice, that you are going to speak normally and you aren't even going to think of it, because that is not in your character, and therefore you could rely on the mitzvah of Kibbut Em, which is a lie on me, and automatically you won't be cursed. And as a matter of fact, we see clearly that according to the Beis HaLevi, Yaakov did not disguise his words, because the Beis Halevi asks a very strong question. The verse number 22 says that Vayigash Yaakov el Yitzchak Aviv, Yaakov got close to Yitzchak his father, Vayamisheo, and Yitzchak touched him. Vayomer he says, Hakoil kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov, Vayodaim yedei Esav, and the hand is the hand of Esav. And then it says that he didn't recognize him because the hand was like Esav, Vayevorcheyu, and he blessed him. The Beis Halevi asks a question, if Yitzchak is feeling the contradiction that the voice is the voice of Yaakov and the hands is the hands of Esav, why would he bless him? Why won't he ask more questions or make sure that he's blessing the right person? Why did he rush to bless? The Beis Halevi answers that Esav suspected that Yaakov is going to impersonate him, and Esav thought that if Yaakov is going to impersonate him, then Yaakov is going to come in speaking like Esav, disguising the voice and disguising the manner of speech as Esav. Therefore, Esav told Yitzchak that when he is going to come back, he is going to impersonate Yaakov and he is going to speak like Yaakov. Therefore, when Yitzchak saw that Akoil Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov and the hands is the hands of Esav, then everything fit. Therefore, he blessed him. So we see that according to the Beis Halevi, Yaakov in fact did not disguise his voice and he spoke normally, and therefore, because he spoke normally, the mitzvah of kibud eim, of honoring his mother, protected him, and therefore he got the blessings. And according to this, we could now say that Esav did not have hirur avodah zarah, actual thoughts of avodah zarah, as Hashem Eroish answered, and therefore the mitzvah did not afford them protection. But since, according to the Beis Halevi, Esav wanted to disguise his voice like Yaakov, therefore the Gemara that says that Kola Meshana B'Diburoi, anybody who disguises his voice is considered as he has done idolatry, and since Esav had the intention to do that before he even left, therefore it's tantamount of him having Hirur Avodah Zarah, thoughts of idolatry. Therefore, because he had thought of idolatry, and idolatry is punishable by thought, therefore the mitzvah of Kibbut Av that he did not protect him. And Hashem Yisburuch should help that the blessing of Yaakov should come on us soon, and we should marry to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, Bimhera Bayameinu, Amen.